own country another way. You ever thought about this star tonight, the star being a symbol? Think about the different symbols that are connected to Christmas time. I'm going to give you a few of them, and just think about, just imagine in your mind what season I'm talking about, all right? Shepherds, what season? Christmas, right? Manger, Christmas, right? Star, baby Jesus, angels, music, amen, yes, lights. All of those are symbols of Christmas time, right? It reminds us of Christmas. All throughout God's word, we see symbols that help us to remind us of who God is in our lives. And so tonight, if you thought about it, do you remember when we do communion? There's certain things in communion that we do. We use symbols, right? We use the bread. The bread represents God's body, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that there was not a bone of him to be broken, but his body was mutilated, amen. His body was broken up, amen. Not a bone of him was broken, but his body was ripped to shreds, amen. Now, let me say this tonight also. We look at that cup and that juice and that cup. What's it remind us of, amen, that juice in the cup? What is that? That's the blood, amen. That's exactly right. That's a symbol, amen. The baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, all those are symbolic of the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection. So there's symbols all throughout our Bible. I've got to tell you tonight, the symbols, man, that we refer to, there's three things that a symbol does. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. A symbol does this. A symbol represents something. Just like the juice in the cup represents the blood of Christ. Just like the bread represents the body of Jesus. Amen. A symbol represents something. A symbol also points to something. As that juice points to the blood. All of those things. A symbol also reflects something. Amen. So if you will, I want you to look tonight. We're going to look once again back over there in Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Notice that the first place that these three wise men went was the place called Jerusalem. I find that interesting. Why didn't they just go to Bethlehem? But they went to Jerusalem. That's interesting, isn't it? I find it interesting because seemingly that they went to the place of his death before they went to the place of his birth. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Outside the city of Jerusalem was where the Lord Jesus Christ would die. So the star took them first to the place of Christ's death, but then he takes them to the place of his birth. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you ever thought about it that way. But as they begin to inquire, and I want to remind you that Jerusalem is probably 5 to 7 miles from Bethlehem. I mean, it's pretty good distance off there. But as they inquire about where the Savior is in Jerusalem there, it seems that if the star goes out and it stops, it's shining for just a moment. They seem to kind of stop in Jerusalem and they don't know where to go. Almost like the star became dark for just a moment. I wonder why it became dark. I wonder why that it stopped shining for just a moment. It was going to the place of his death before it went to the place of his birth. Look at verse number 7 with me for just a moment. Then Herod, he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. It makes you wonder. I don't even know that Herod went outside and even looked for the star. Maybe he did, but the star wasn't there to see. And I don't know. So he begins to inquire and say, hey, where is this star? What time did this star appear? How long have you been traveling? He's inquiring about a time frame. It doesn't seem that Herod has had previous knowledge of this star appearing. It don't seem like he's been looking at the star. He's not looking for the sign. He's not looking for this symbol. He's just living life as someone who's living in darkness, amen. There's a lot of people today that's not looking for those signs. They're not looking for what's coming. They're not looking for what's happening right now before our very eyes. I've told them being in prayer room tonight, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in two phases. The first phase is what we call the rapture of the church, amen. And Jesus Christ comes and he gathers the church, the bride of Christ, home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second coming of the Lord, in the second phase is this, that he's going to come in great power and great glory, and he's going to set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem and rule and reign for 1,000 years. So I'm telling you tonight, this star appeared at a specific time. Look at verse number 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come to worship him also. There's always going to be people out there that don't want to leave where they're at to go to Jesus. They don't ever want to do anything. They're never going to step out and do nothing else. They want everything to be brought to them. Can I tell you something? You'll never get a hold of a good relationship with Jesus until you step out and you go to him, amen. You can't come to God on your own, amen, that you've got to be drawn by the Holy Spirit, amen. Look at verse number 9. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, I want to know tonight what this star is. This was a predicted star, Numbers chapter number 24 and verse number 19. Now I want to know what this star is, because the word of God in verse number 9 describes this star going before them and standing over where the young child was. Verse number 2, we see that the magi, or the wise men, proclaiming that this star has an owner. Look. Say, where is he that is born, King of the Jews, where we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him? Now listen tonight. The only way that one could own a star is that he would have to have created the star. He would have to have authorship over it, or have had to purchase it. Amen. Amen. So let's just take you just a moment. Take your Bible and go back to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 16. And we're going to look at the star's ability in creation. There had to be a reason why that God gave this star an opportunity to exist. Now, we're talking about physical stars right here in chapter number 1. But they do have a purpose, and they do have a reason for being created. Look at verse number 16. This is the first mention of a star in your Bible. Look at verse number 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the what? The night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament. I like it, don't you? He set them there. He set them in the firmament of the heavens, excuse me, to give light upon the earth. That firmament's what we call outer space, amen. It's the expanse. Now, look at verse number 18. This is its responsibility, this is its ability and its duties. Look at verse number 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the night from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So the first mention of star is found during creation. Now, I want you to notice that in Genesis chapter number 1, in verse number 17, it tells us that the star has ability, has purpose to give light upon the earth. Now, not just to give light upon the earth, but to give light upon the earth during a time of darkness.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com, or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.